Chapter 4. Gwen. The early morning activity in the castle came to a sudden halt the moment Gwen rode under the portcullis and reined in before the gate. Her brother, Guokmai, appeared at her side to help her down from her horse. Because he often entertained the hall late into the night, it was rare that he was awake at this hour, so he had to have been watching for her. A moment later, her father, Mylir, hurried from a side doorway, puffing with every step. His belly had expanded into a paunch in the last year since they'd returned to Aber, and of late, his shortness of breath had her worrying about his health.
"Well, can you tell me what's happened?"
Guokmai had grown over the summer too, undoubtedly trying to keep up with Shayla, and was now tall enough to look into Gwen's eyes.
"We heard that a woman's body has washed up on the beach."
"It didn't wash up, but that's all I can tell you right now. Prince Howell sent me back to Aber to speak to the king."
"Father?"
Gwen broke off as she greeted Mylir with a kiss on the cheek. They had come a long way since the cold silences, sometimes lasting a week, that had haunted their relationship before her marriage to Gareth. She'd grown up, and if her father's heart had expanded along with his belly, she couldn't begrudge him the long, mellow evenings that had caused the change.
"I can't say anything about it until I see him."
"You should speak to Terran first," Mylir said.
Lord Terran was the king's steward and closest confidant.
"I will accompany you."
He pinned his gaze on his son.
"Guokmai, you stay here."
Guokmai opened his mouth to protest, but Gwen put a hand on his arm.
"This is serious. I will tell you all about what has happened afterwards, though you may hear rumors before I get to you. It's not going to be a secret for long."
Guokmai settled back on his heels with a suppressed sigh, but didn't protest again. Gwen left her horse with him and entered the keep with her father, who held the door for her. The keep housed the great hall and had two wings leading off of it, guarded by stone towers at each corner. Terran's room was the door closest to the great hall in the east wing, while the king's rooms were farther along the corridor. Unlike in past years, Gwen wasn't resentful of her father's presence. In fact, she was grateful for it. He might be accompanying her because he wanted to know what was going on as much as because he was worried for her, but telling the king that his long-lost niece was dead was not a task she relished taking on all by herself.
"Someone important is dead."
Mylir stopped outside Terran's door.
"I'm afraid so. It's someone he cared about," Gwen said.
"He was in a mellow mood last night when he retired," Mylir said.
"I'm sure it was in part because you and Guokmai sang so well."
Mylir bowed his head in silent thanks.
"I suspect tonight's entertainment will be more in the way of forgetting our troubles than to celebrate the harvest."
Gwen's father was right that the king's good humor at seeing all of his people gathered in his hall wasn't going to last beyond the next few moments.
"Better that than not to have any music at all. This is not a message I would ever choose to bring to the king."
Mylir straightened his tunic.
"Are you ready?"
At Gwen's, "Yes."
He reached up to knock on Terran's door, but it opened before his knuckles hit the wood, so that Mylir almost rapped on the steward's nose.
"Mylir, Gwen, what are you doing here? I heard voices outside my door and wondered who it might be."
"I'm sorry to disturb you," Gwen said.
"How may I help you?"
When he'd opened the door, Terran had still been adjusting his sleeves inside his coat, and now he pulled them straight with quick jerks. Gwen licked her lips and glanced quickly at her father, who gave her a slight nod.
"One of the guards woke me earlier to tell me that a body had been found on the beach. He was looking for Gareth, but since Gareth and Prince Howell were on patrol, I went to see in their place. Once they returned, the prince recognized who it was and sent me to inform the king before he could hear about it from someone else."
Terran smoothed his mustache, his eyes on Gwen.
"Just say what you have to say, child. I can tell that you are bringing bad news."
Gwen glanced right and left to make sure they were still alone in the corridor.
"Howell believes the body to be that of Tegwin, the king's niece."
Terran took a step back, his heel bumping the bottom of the door behind him.
"That's not possible. She's been gone these 5 years. She ran away."
"She may have done so," Gwen said, "but it seems she didn't get far."
Mylir, too, was staring at Gwen.
"She ran away with a Dane. She was seen getting into a boat with him."
"I know that was what we were all told," Gwen said. "As I said, it may have been true, but somehow she has ended up on Aber's beach 5 years later."
Terran was standing with a hand pressed to the top of his head.
"You are sure it's Tegwin?"
"Howell is certain, or he wouldn't have sent me."
Gwen took Terran's free hand and squeezed it.
It's more complicated than that, too, because it's obvious that she's been dead for a long while. Her body is all dried out, like...
Gwen cleared her throat.
Pardon me for saying it, but like an old apple.
Then how do you know it is she? Terran said.
How well is sure, my lord?
Gwen said.
I am only doing as I was bidden.
How did she die?
Mylar said.
Someone bashed her skull in, Gwen said, and at Terran's horrified look, added. I know, it's awful. Here we've spent the last 5 years believing that even if she ran away with the Dane, it was her choice. When all this while she's been dead in Gwynedd, with her murderer walking free among us.
Terran closed his eyes and breathed deeply through his nose, letting the air out through his mouth. Then he opened his eyes, his usual manner of quiet competence returning. Releasing Gwen's hand, he said,
Come, we should go to the king. He won't like being disturbed, but he would prefer it to not being woken.
That had been Gareth's reasoning, too, and Gwen was glad now that she had come, even if it was one of the worst tasks she'd ever been set. She tugged her cloak closer around her, chilled even though the corridor wasn't cold. In her mind's eye, she kept seeing the dent in Tegwyn's skull and the bloodstains. Death came to everyone, of course. Each person lived with it every day, but it was hard to know that it had come by murder to Tegwyn. As Terran had said, they'd all imagined her happy with her Dane. The truth was going to be like a bucket of cold water thrown over Aber. As they walked down the corridor to King Owain's quarters, Gwen was glad she had the two older men to buttress her on either side. During the short ride from the beach, she'd been dreading knocking on King Owain's door, especially if Christina was beside him. Unlike Gwen and Gareth, the queen and king didn't always share a bed. Christina had her own room on the floor above, and she slept there roughly half the time. Gwen had overheard Christina telling one of her ladies-in-waiting that the king snored. Christina could endure it less well now that she was heavily pregnant with their first child and not sleeping well herself. It was Christina, more than King Owain, who would resent an unexpected visitor outside her door. Gwen suspected the reason was less that she didn't like being woken than that she didn't like anyone to see her before her maid had dressed her and fixed her hair. Coupled with her difficulty sleeping and her pregnancy, Christina was all the more to be avoided in the morning. Terran rapped his knuckles on the door.
My lord, may I have a word?
Gwen heard the thud of King Owain's feet hitting the floor and his lumbering tread to the door, which opened to reveal his burly form, wild golden hair going gray, and heavy-lidded eyes. With so many visitors at Aber for the celebration of Hallowmass and Cullen Gaev, the king had experienced a succession of late evenings, and it consumed more mead than was his usual custom. He enjoyed his comforts, but Christina and he retired early most nights, especially since she'd fallen pregnant. Gwen knew what that was like. Some days, she could barely keep her eyes open during the evening meal, and she would have slept until noon if her duties hadn't called to her.
What is it?
King Owain hung onto the doorframe, one arm above his head. Gwen tried not to wilt under the king's glare. He didn't have the look of a man with a full measure of patience. Swallowing hard, she braced herself to tell him straight out.
A body was found on the beach this morning. I have seen it, and Gareth and Prince Howell are examining it now. The prince believes it to be the body of Tegwyn, your niece, whom we believed ran away with the Dane 5 years ago.
There. That had been as succinct a statement as she could make. King Owain, for his part, stared at Gwen through several breaths without responding. Then he looked to Terran, who nodded, his jaw tight, and then back to Gwen.
You found a body on the beach that Howell believes to be Tegwyn's. How is that possible?
My lord, Howell recognized her.
Did she drown?
King Owain said.
No, my lord. From the condition of the body, Howell judges that she has been dead many years.
Gwen knew she was a coward for not owning that estimate herself, but King Owain would accept Howell's authority more than hers in this instance.
Then how could he possibly recognize her? She would be nothing but bones.
There it was again, the point that they would be addressing over and over again. In Wales, it rained all the time. The ground was moist year-round, and anything and everything that spent any time outside rotted away, even items still in use. Clothing, rope, wooden posts that held up a roof. Gwen herself was still having trouble accepting the strange condition of the body, not to mention the disturbing fact that someone had found it and then left it on the beach. Gwen bowed, loath to explain further, but knowing that she must.
Her form is dried and desiccated, but even I, who didn't know Tegwyn well, can recognize her now that Howell has named her. She was wrapped in the cloak you gave her upon her betrothal to Lord Bran.
King Owain wasn't buying it.
If she has been dead for years, how is it that she lies on the beach?
That is something we cannot yet explain, Gwen said.
The king ran a hand through his hair and looked behind him to Christina. She'd been listening to their exchange, sitting up in bed with the blankets pulled up to her chin.
It could be another girl dressed in Tegwyn's cloak, Christina said.
King Owain's eyes flicked back to Gwen's, and then he returned them to his wife's face.
Yes, of course, my dear. Don't upset yourself. Whatever happened to this girl, Tegwyn or not, it happened a long time ago.
He'd taken a step towards Christina as he'd spoken to her, but now turned back, moving into the doorway closer to Gwen. He pulled the door nearly closed behind him, with only a sliver of empty space between the door and the frame. He didn't want Christina to hear him.
Do you have any indication as to how she died?
Gwen found her gaze dropping to her shoes, so she wouldn't have to see King Owain's expression when she told him.
My lord, her hair is matted with blood, and her skull crushed.
So on top of everything else, this is murder,
King Owain said. The location of the wound makes a fall from a horse unlikely, but not impossible, Gwen said. Howell may have already discovered more about it, but he sent me to find you so you wouldn't learn of this from someone else.
King Owain pursed his lips.
Wait for me in the hall. I would speak to you further.
Gwen curtsied. Yes, my lord.
The king looked at Taryn.
We'll have to inform Griffith.
He and Seanad should be arriving at Aber this afternoon.
Taryn's mouth turned down.
They'll be bringing Tegwyn's daughters with them.
After Bran's murder, Tegwyn's grandparents had taken her two daughters in to raise, as they'd raised Tegwyn upon Ilar's death.
That is a conversation I am not looking forward to.
King Owain went back into his room and shut the door. The three companions in the corridor heaved a mutual sigh of relief.
That went better than I had any right to expect, Taryn said.
But as they turned away to head to the Great Hall, to wait for the king as he'd requested, a crash resounded from within King Owain's bedroom.
A chair has met its demise, I would say,
Mylir said. Taryn walked steadily down the hall.
Christina will see to him.
Coward,
Mylir said. Turning his head to look back at them, Taryn shot Gwen and her father a grin.
Definitely.
Then he sobered and stopped a few feet from the end of the corridor.
Putting entirely aside the matter of Tegwyn's death, and that we've been deceived all these years as to the manner in which she left us, why would someone remove her from her grave and leave her on the beach?
I do not know, my lord. I don't even know if that's what has happened, Gwen said. I think we won't know until Gareth and I, and Prince Howell, of course, start asking questions. It may be difficult to discover the sequence of events, however, given how long ago she disappeared.
I will give you any assistance I can.
Taryn turned to look towards the doorway to the Great Hall. Gwen waited a beat.
What is it?
Taryn cleared his throat, and it was only when he wiped at the corner of his eye that she saw the tears on his cheeks.
She was a dear girl. I liked the thought of her on the arms of some mighty Dane. She deserved to be loved and protected.
What about Bran?
But Gwen had asked the question to Taryn's back. Two strides had taken him into the hall, where he was immediately besieged by men wanting to know what had happened. Mylir rested a hand on Gwen's shoulder.
Let him go. He'll speak to you again when he's ready.
Gwen swung around.
Do you know what he's talking about? Obviously, if everyone accepted that she ran away with a Dane, something was wrong with Tegwyn's marriage to Bran.
Mylir's mouth thinned.
I do not know the details.
I don't need the details, as much as I need to know what you're thinking, Gwen said. I can fill those in later from someone who knew her better.
You may recall that I played at the wedding,
Mylir said. At Gwen's nod, he continued.
She was not a happy bride.
When her father didn't elaborate further, Gwen said,
Is that all?
To tell you the truth, I didn't inquire at the time. It was none of my business. Gwalchmai wasn't even four. I had my own troubles.
We all did.
She fixed her father with a look.
So you can't tell me more than that?
Her father was silent for a moment, and then said,
Let's just say there were rumors that Tegwyn didn't come to the marriage bed a maiden.
Gwen raised her eyebrows. Her father did think she had grown up, if he was willing to speak so openly to her. Such is the case with many girls, or so I understand, but it isn't usually something the rest of Gwynedd knows about.
Mylir's lips pressed together. Taryn believed that Tegwyn was a sweet girl, but I never got that impression. Maybe she was quiet, but still waters can run deep. Of course, I didn't know her as well as Taryn did, and we left Gwynedd not long after her wedding.
For all that she and Tegwyn had been close in age, Tegwyn had never befriended Gwen, having friends of her own of a nobler class, and it hadn't been Gwen's place to join them. In fact, until today, Gwen hadn't thought anything much about Tegwyn at all, and struggled to recall a substantial memory with Tegwyn in it. Howell had known her better, but then, Howell had always made it his business to acquaint himself with every girl, eligible or not, cousin or not, within 100-mile radius of wherever he was living at the time. Howell appeared to have put that life behind him with his marriage. Upon entering the hall with her father, Gwen spotted Howell's wife, Mary, sitting at the high table among some of the lords of Gwynedd who'd come for Callan Gaeaf. Since Gwen was supposed to wait for King Owain there, she excused herself from her father and made her way to where Mary sat. Gwen wouldn't normally have merited a chair at the high table, but since it was early in the morning and plenty of seats were empty, she sat when Mary patted the chair beside her.
"Tell me," Mary said, "where is my husband?"
"He's standing over a body," Gwen said. "I suppose I can tell you because everyone is going to know shortly, but Howell believes it to be the remains of his cousin, Tegwyn."
Mary put her hand to her mouth.
"How can that be? She ran away with a Dane 5 years ago." Gwen wondered how many times she would hear that exact phrase today. The story was legend. After Gwen had returned to Gwynedd last year, she'd even heard girls giggling about their marriage prospects, with the caveat, "You can always run away with a Dane," if the man didn't turn out to be all that a girl wished. Gwen hadn't realized where the phrase came from until today.
"Well, maybe she didn't," Gwen said. "I know that's the story, but Howell is very sure that the body is the remains of Tegwyn, or he wouldn't have sent me home to Eber to tell King Owain of it."
"Do you mean to say that Tegwyn has been alive this whole time? Do you have any idea where she's been living? How could we have not known of her?"
Gwen shook her head.
"No, no, that's just it. She hasn't. It looks as if she died years ago. Maybe even the very day she disappeared."
The more Gwen thought about it, the more likely that scenario seemed to her. Running away with a Dane would have put Tegwyn out of reach, but surely someone would have heard a rumor of her at least once in all these years. Gwen herself had gone to Dublin last year, which was a polite way of putting it, given that Prince Cadwallader had abducted her, but she hadn't seen Tegwyn among the court. Admittedly, she hadn't thought to look either.
"For some reason, someone left her body on the beach early this morning."
Mary's face had gone very white, and Gwen pressed her hand.
"Did you know her?"
"Yes, I did." Mary took a sip of warm mead, and some color returned to her face.
"My Uncle Gorenwy and her grandfather were well acquainted. She and I were the same age, and she visited my uncle's estates often."
Her brow furrowed.
"You are of an age with us, more or less. Why didn't you know her?"
Gwen explained again why she hadn't, though she was beginning to wonder if the issue wasn't so much that Tegwyn hadn't been at court, as that Gwen hadn't sought her out when she'd visited. At the time, Gwen's life had revolved around Howell. Gwen's only other excuse was that Tegwyn had married Bran at 15, and Gwen had left Gwynedd with her father shortly thereafter, on the heels of King Owain assuming the throne after the war in Ceredigion.
"Mary, when did you last see her?"
Mary rubbed her forehead with her fingers as if she had a headache. Gwen felt one coming on, too.
"Perhaps a few weeks before she disappeared. She confided in me that she thought she might be pregnant again."
"Did she seem happy?" Gwen said. Mary looked at Gwen through narrowed eyes.
"Yes, of course. Why are you asking me this?" "Mary, Tegwyn's skull was fractured. We suspect, Howell, Gareth, and I, that someone hit her very hard and killed her. Do you have any idea who could have done such a thing? Or why?"
Mary rubbed at the back of her neck and looked down at the table.
"What is it? What don't you want to tell me?" Gwen said.
Mary let out a sigh.
"When I last saw Tegwyn, she told me that she'd learned a terrible secret about her husband,
It was tearing her apart.
What was the secret? Gwen said.
Mary shook her head.
I tried to get it out of her, but she wouldn't tell me. She didn't want to cast aspersions on Bran's character.
Gwen frowned.
If I thought about her at all, I assumed her marriage was unhappy since she'd run away. You're saying it wasn't?
The truth is, when we were girls, Tegwyn fell in and out of love every week, depending upon which man had talked to her most recently.
Mary shrugged.
I suppose I was like that at 15 too, but Tegwyn never learned constancy. When she told me she no longer loved her husband, I didn't think anything of it, because she'd said as much to me at least once a year, and then changed her mind if he bought her a new dress. Still, she seemed different, more somber this time.
Is that why you believed, as we all did, that she'd run off with a Dane? Gwen said.
Not exactly, Mary said. I thought she'd run away with the man she'd loved before she married Bran.
That coincided with her father's comment, but Gwen still felt a little overwhelmed by what Mary was telling her. She really hadn't known Tegwyn.
Tegwyn loved someone before Bran. I mean, more than just a passing fancy.
Oh, yes, Mary said. So much so that she pleaded to King Owain, though he wasn't king at that time, for him or his father to intervene and prevent the marriage. But neither saw a reason to go against the wishes of her family. I don't know if anyone else other than a few of her close friends knew about this other man. I never met him, or even knew his name, but if he was a Dane and not well-born, it would have been an impossible match for a princess.
It may come out now that he never existed, Gwen said.
Oh, he was real, Mary said. I know that for certain.
How? Gwen said.
She was all mysterious smiles and knowing looks whenever anyone talked about a man whom they were interested in. She referred to him only as B, and the letter didn't stand for Bran.
I don't see why they didn't elope in the first place, Gwen said. In 7 years, their marriage could have been as legal as any other.
She was a princess, Mary said. Gwen looked at her friend out of the corner of her eye.
Was she unfaithful to Bran after the wedding?
Mary bit her lip.
I think so, but not right away. You met him, didn't you?
I suppose, Gwen shrugged, casting her mind back to that long ago time.
I must have seen him when he came to Aber or Aberfrau.
Mary raised her eyebrows.
You must not have been paying attention. Bran was incredibly handsome. All the girls favored him. Tegwyn ended up admiring him too, and he treated her very well initially.
So Bran did love her back?
Bran wanted her because she was beautiful and Prince Cadwallon's daughter, Mary said.
So no, Gwen said. What about Tegwyn's lover?
Whoever he was, he broke it off with her when she married Bran. It was only at the end that she took up with him again.
Even as a married woman, Gwen found this story shocking. She knew that women weren't always faithful to their husbands. Husbands certainly weren't faithful to their wives, though a wife had the right to compensation and to divorce her husband if he lay with another woman 3 times. In turn, if Bran discovered Tegwyn with another man, he was justified in beating her.
Did Bran find out? Gwen said.
I don't know.
Wait, I didn't really hear you when you mentioned it the first time, but did you say that she was pregnant when she disappeared?
She told me she was.
Was the child Bran's?
Gwen held her breath.
I don't know.
Mary said the words so quietly, Gwen almost didn't catch them.
The 2 daughters she gave him definitely were his, but I don't know about the child she was carrying when she disappeared. No part of any story I have heard about Tegwyn up until now mentions that she was pregnant.
Gwen sat back, her mind churning at the information Mary had given her. For all that Gwen had traveled the length of Wales, lost her mother to childbirth, spent the last years as a spy for Prince Howell, and was now a married woman, she could still be surprised by the behavior of those she lived amongst.
And you never knew the name of her lover?
Mary shook her head.
I'm sorry. Tegwyn would never tell me more than the scantest details about him, not even after she'd found solace in too much wine and her tongue loosened.
Gwen looked carefully at her friend.
Was that a habit of hers, to drink too much?
Mary's eyes were sad.
Married to a man who didn't love her, pregnant with a child she didn't want. It isn't only men who choose that route.
Gwen swept a hand down her own belly. She couldn't help but smile as her child chose that moment to kick. Mary was watching her closely.
You can't understand it, Gwen. Nor can I. But Tegwyn deserves our pity, not our judgment. You misunderstand, Mary. I don't judge her, and I do pity her. I also know that with a few different twists of fate, her situation could have been mine. Wasn't Gareth in the same position as this lover of Tegwyn's? Worse, even, as he was banished from Cadwallader's retinue and sent to wander Wales until they could find a lord to take him in. I suppose, Mary said. Come to think of it, I could have shared her fate as well, except that it was I who was impoverished, not the man I loved. And now you're married to a prince. The two friends clasped hands. I will do my best by Tegwyn, Gwen said. I promise.